Chapter 26. The royal palace was easy enough to find. The central tower was tall enough to be seen silhouetted against the sky even as far away as the Horsehead Inn. Up close, the white stone of the tower sparkled with flecks of some blue mineral which dazzlingly reflected the sunlight. The walls surrounding the royal palace, which Randy now stood outside of, were decidedly less dazzling. They were half again as tall as the outer city walls. The top 5 feet of them looked to have been added on later. The brickwork was different, darker, with rusted swords and barbed spearheads poking out at downward angles through the mortar. Anyone trying to scale this wall had better be packing a pair of Kevlar gloves. Randy made his way counterclockwise around the perimeter of the wall until he came to a gate. The two guards at either side of the gate stood at attention, their spears and shields held as straight as their spines. They appeared to take their jobs a lot more seriously than the guards along the outer city wall did. A human on the left and a half-orc on the right, they eyed Randy stoically as he approached. Randy attempted to hide his nervousness with a cheery smile.
"Good morning."
"State your name and business," said the human guard.
"My name's Randy Perkins," said Randy. "And I'm currently unemployed."
The guard closed his eyes and breathed deeply, like he was having one of those mornings. When he spoke again, it was slow and deliberate, like he was talking to a child.
"Please tell me the purpose of your visit to the palace."
"I'm here to see the king."
"Oh, is that all? Then by all means, go on through."
Randy smiled.
"Well, thank you very much."
As soon as he took a step forward, the two guards' spears formed a large X blocking his way.
"I was joking," said the guard.
Randy didn't know what to say. He put his palms up.
"Hey, you sure got me good."
"What business do you have with His Majesty?"
"He requested I come here on account of I'm a pal."
Randy's mind was drawing a blank. What was that word?
Palindrome? Platypus? Pallywog?
The two guards looked at one another. The half-orc mouthed the word pallywog.
"You are a paladin of the new god?"
said the human guard, cutting off Randy's train of thought.
"That's right,"
said Randy excitedly.
"How'd you know?"
"Lucky guess."
Randy noticed that the spears had not been taken back.
"So, can I go in and see the king now?"
"Describe him,"
said the guard.
"The king?
A new god."
"All right," said Randy.
He thought for a moment.
"He's nice and gentle and,
what does he look like?"
The guard's voice was showing signs of impatience.
"Look like?
Surely, if you've devoted your life to this new god, you must have seen him."
"I ain't seen him face to face, but I've seen plenty of paintings and statues and such."
"Statues?"
The half-orc guard finally spoke.
"The new god has only existed for a day. What sculptor dare attempt to chisel out the likeness of a god in such little time?"
"Please, tell us then," said the human guard. "What does a new god look like, based on these paintings and statues?"
Randy thought hard to pick out what all the different pictures of Jesus he'd seen in his life had in common.
"Well, he's a skinny feller with light brown hair, a little long in the back, and a nice full beard."
The guards looked at each other. Randy was losing them.
"Well, let's see, what else? He's got shiny blue eyes, and he wears this blue toga thing, and..."
Both guards broke out in laughter.
"Please,"
said the human guard when he caught his breath.
"Stop! Just stop! I can't take any more!"
Now Randy was the one getting impatient.
"What is y'all's two laughing about?"
"I honestly don't know,"
said the half-orc.
"This is one of the saddest displays I've ever seen. Blue toga!"
He started laughing even harder. The human guard was laughing so hard he had to use his spear to remain standing up.
"This is..."
He caught his breath.
"This is even worse than the description that crazy old lizard man gave us."
Randy put his hands on his hips.
"Is y'all gonna let me in or not?"
"Of course,"
said the human guard.
"Far be it from us to deny His Majesty counsel on matters of such consequence."
He called into the gateway.
"Open the gate, Henry."
"Well, that's more like it,"
said Randy.
"Thank you very much."
"Borgoff, relieve the heretic of his weapon and throw him in with the others."
"Heretic?"
cried Randy.
"Others?"
Before he knew what was happening, the half-orc guard was upon him, starting to unbuckle his scabbard. Randy tried to struggle free, but the guard's hands were strong.
You get your hands off me this instant!
The half-orc, Borgarth, placed a firm hand on Randy's shoulder, instantly suppressing the struggle, and looked him in the eye.
Are you going to be a good little prisoner and come quietly? Are you going to make me really enjoy my job?
Randy had had the shit beaten out of him enough times to be able to catch his meaning. He lowered his head.
I'll be good.
The open gate revealed a beautiful, meticulously maintained garden leading toward the palace proper. Randy considered making a run for it, but had a feeling that Borgarth was hoping he would do just that.
Should I alert Sergeant Moore to identify the prisoner?
Asked Borgarth.
Is that the big colored feller? Asked Randy. Run and fetch him. He'll tell you I ain't no heretic.
The human guard laughed.
I wouldn't bother with this one, not after the toga thing. You don't understand,
Randy pleaded.
I need to see the king. You'll see him soon enough, said the human guard. Before your trial, you'll be given the opportunity to confess your heresy and beg for a swift execution.
Randy swallowed hard.
Well, that's generous.
Come on,
said Borgarth, jerking Randy forward by the back of the neck. Randy allowed himself to be guided around the back of the palace, down a stone stairway, and through a sturdy iron door. The interior was more brightly lit than what Randy had expected for a dungeon. Being on palace grounds, prisoners here were not simply locked away and abandoned. Two guards, a dwarf and a human, stood at attention as Randy and Borgarth approached the cell door.
Brought us another cleric of the new god, have you, Borgarth?
Said the human. Borgarth snorted.
Show some respect, Mayfield. This one's a paladin.
The dwarf shook his head.
Aye, it's times like these when the crazies really start to come out of the stonework.
Hammerford, said Mayfield. Open the door and allow our new guest to join his brothers of the faith.
The dwarf, Hammerford, took a ring of steel keys off a peg mounted on the wall.
Come on, Sir Paladin, in you go.
He turned the key and started to open the barred door.
Now!
Cried one of the inmates from within the cell. A crowd of prisoners flooded out of the cell at once, knocking Hammerford backwards. Borgarth and Mayfield looked at one another and shook their heads. Borgarth shoved Randy aside, set his spear against the wall, grinned, and cracked his knuckles as the prisoners tried to rush him. The first was a fat human man, not too far removed from Randy's true form physique. Borgarth got down on one knee to give him a good solid punch in the gut. The wave of fat rippled out from the epicenter of the punch, causing waves to ripple across his fat face. The prisoner dropped to his knees and fell flat on his face. Next in line was a halfling who almost managed to sneak past Borgarth under the cover of shadow. But the big half-orc caught the tiny halfling by the arm, picked him up, and hurled him like a sack of oranges at another human prisoner, fitter than the first, but not so fit as to be able to shake off the force of a thrown halfling. They both collapsed to the floor and did not try to stand again. Finally, a wild-eyed, wrinkled lizard man ran at Borgarth, snapping his teeth and thrashing at the air with his clawed fingers. Randy backed up against the wall. The human guard from outside had mentioned a crazy old lizard man, but to see him up close in the scaly flesh was something he hadn't adequately prepared himself for. Planting his right fist in his left palm, Borgarth braced himself, then elbowed the lizard man in the side of the head as soon as he got close enough. The poor old reptile spat out teeth as his forked tongue flapped from his mouth until his head slammed against the wall. He was out cold. Borgarth grinned at Randy.
Prison breaks truly are my favorite part of the job.
Randy surveyed the carnage. At least an equal number of prisoners had tried to escape the other way and were dealt with in similar fashion by Mayfield and Hammerford. Those prisoners who were conscious and able to walk grudgingly filed back into the cell. The three guards dragged the rest in by their arms, legs, or in the case of the lizard man, his tail.
Are you waiting for an invitation? Mayfield asked Randy. Or do you also require assistance?
Randy shook his head and hurriedly followed the fresh blood smear trails into the cell. The door slammed shut behind him. Mayfield and Hammerford bade farewell to Borgarth, then sat down to continue a card game which had apparently been interrupted by Randy's arrival. Inside the cell, Randy couldn't hear himself think over the moans and wails of the injured prisoners.
Send for a healer!
Cried a half-elf who'd been stopped by Mayfield and Hammerford.
You brutes broke my leg!
He winced as he touched his broken shin.
And my nose!
Honked the fat human, tears running down the sides of his blubbery face.
"You're a bunch of clerics and paladins, aren't you?"
said Mayfield.
"Heal yourselves!"
He reached for a box on a shelf above their card table. The fit human and the halfling who'd been thrown at him grabbed the bars of the cell door and started shaking it.
"No!" cried the human. "Not the stone!"
Randy's heartbeat quickened as Mayfield ignored their protests, pulling a small, round stone out of the box. He braced himself for whatever was about to happen next. Mayfield placed the stone on the table, and he and Hammerford continued their card game in silence. Randy found that very underwhelming. The human continued to shake the cell door, but the halfling gave it up, a disgusted look on his face when he turned around.
"What's with the rock?" asked Randy.
"It's a silent stone," said the halfling. "We can wail in agony all we like. Those two bastards won't be bothered in the least. They can't hear us."
"Can you, you sons of whores?"
shouted the man, shaking the door.
"Barton," shouted the halfling. "That's enough already. It's noisy enough in here as it is."
Finally, Barton succumbed to the futility of his action and gave up shaking the door. The halfling covered his ears, trying to drown out the wailing and crying of his fellow inmates.
"This will be the only sounds we hear until the sweet release of the king's justice."
Randy sat down on a hard, splintered, unfinished wooden bench.
"Why'd y'all lie about being clerics for Jesus?"
"You're going to preach us a sermon, paladin? You're as guilty as the rest of us."
"No, I ain't," Barton grinned.
"You can cut the act, Pally. You've got nothing to gain by earning the trust of we fellow charlatans. I'm telling you, I ain't no fellow charlatan."
"I believe you,"
wheezed the fat man through his broken nose.
"You've believed every one of us, Waddles," said Barton.
He turned to Randy.
"He's not even in here for heresy. He's here by choice. He demanded to be brought in so that the representative of the new god should not suffer alone."
The fat man, who may or may not have actually been named Waddles, knelt before Randy.
"If it pleases the new god, I beg for you to lay your hands on me."
"Right here in front of all these people?"
Randy had sympathy for this poor bastard. Lord knows he'd traveled down that lonely road enough times himself.
"There's actually some debate where I'm from whether that pleases the new god or not."
Barton laughed.
"You are without a doubt the most profoundly sad excuse for a phony disciple I've ever seen."
Randy glared at him in frustration.
"He wants you to heal him," explained Barton. "Fix his flattened nose."
"Oh," said Randy.
He smiled at Waddles.
"In that case, I'd be happy to."
Barton rubbed his hands together.
"Fantastic."
He stood up and addressed the other inmates.
"Behold, fellow clerics of the new god, bear witness to his great healing power, flowing through the righteous hands of our new paladin brother. I'm sorry, what was your name?"
"Randy," said Randy.
"Randy!"
All eyes in the cell were on him. Some were curious, others embarrassed. A few just because there was little else of interest going on in the cell.
"It's okay, Waddles," said Randy. "You ain't gotta be afraid."
Waddles scooted forward, heavy breaths whistling through his broken nose. Randy placed both hands atop Waddles' hot, sweaty head and closed his eyes.
"In Jesus Christ's name, I heal you."
Again, Randy felt the same warmth flow from his heart, down his arms, and through his hands. Waddle's nasal whistle grew louder and shriller, like a boiling kettle, until it suddenly stopped. Worried that he'd accidentally killed Waddles, Randy opened his eyes. Waddles was very much alive. His breathing had silenced because his nose was whole again and the air was flowing freely. Tears in his eyes, he took several more deep, silent breaths just to demonstrate that he could.
"Waddles!"
said Barton. Waddles stood up and glared at him.
"My name is Waddle."
The rest of the inmates murmured among themselves.
"Did you see that? I can't believe it. Could it be true?"
"Heal me!"
cried the half-elf with the broken leg, which had turned a nasty shade of purple by this point. He tried to stand on his good leg, but fell over on the bad one.
"Yow!"
Randy stood up.
"Hang on, man. I'll come over there to you."
He looked at his hands doubtfully.
"I'm only first level, and I don't know how much of this healing juice I got in me, but I'll do my best."
He walked over to where the half-elf was writhing and wincing on the floor, knelt down next to him, and laid a hand on his cheek.
"In Jesus Christ's name, I heal you."
The half-elf winced even harder as his bones shifted beneath his skin, but then a wave of calm washed over his face as the purple faded from his shin. He hopped to his feet and started dancing, then stopped to grab Randy's hand and kiss it.
It's a miracle, said Barton. I've seen real, faithful clerics study for months and not be able to elicit this much healing power from their gods. The new god has only existed for one day.
Randy went on to heal everyone else in the cell, even those with only minor scratches or abrasions, each time being certain that he must be getting close to depleting his daily allotment of healing. When it was done, Randy had been hugged, kissed, squeezed, and shaken more than he'd been in his whole life prior to this. Barton knelt before him.
I humbly beg you, accept my apologies, Sir Randy. You've given us so much this day. How may we serve you?
Exhaustion had caught up with Randy.
I just want to go to sleep for a little while.
Barton ripped off his shirt, displaying a nice smooth chest and a satisfactory set of abs.
I appreciate the gesture, said Randy, but I weren't kidding. I'm seriously tired right now. I ain't slept all night.
Barton bundled his shirt into a ball.
Lay your head on this, Sir Randy.
He placed the balled-up shirt on the wooden bench.
I would be honored to bring you whatever meager comfort I can. I shall stand watch and make sure no harm befalls you while you rest.
As will I, said the half-elf.
And me, said the halfling.
You can count on me, said Weddle.
One by one, all of the other inmates stood in a semicircle, shielding Randy from whatever unlikely evil might befall him here in this locked cell. It was a nice gesture, at any rate. Randy lay on the bench, his mind racing with wonder. Had it really been a miracle? How was he healing so much? Was the real Jesus acting through him? It was too much, and he briefly worried that he wouldn't be able to sleep. That worry sorted itself out in a matter of minutes when sleep descended on him like a summer storm.